Welcome to episode
24
of WoW Geekly, a weekly podcast about the World of Warcraft with a streak of geek. This episode was recorded on
Tuesday,
the
6th
of
May,
2014. Please remain as you are and let your auditory receptors give a warm, geekly welcome to your hosts, Asheo and Jeppy.
Good morning and welcome to episode 24 of WoW Geekly, the World of Warcraft podcast with a streak of geek. And that streak of geek is 12,000 miles away. I imagine sat in the dark. Is it dark there? Hello,
Asheo. I've got the light on. I've got the light. Outside it's dark. Yeah.
I don't know why we assume you don't have electricity in Australia. That's what you mean, isn't it?
Oh, we don't. When I say I've got the light on, I mean I've got the kerosene lantern lit up. Probably going to be asphyxiated fairly soon. I might have to open a window and let some of this gas out.
But it is late night.
Just dinner time. Bit of a late dinner. That's it.
Anything nice?
But it's that time of year when, sadly, because it's nearly 7 o'clock. And over summer, still bright and sunny outside this time of year. Dark and miserable.
Oh.
Just like me.
Well, that's us 365 days a year, so.
Oh, there you go.
Yeah. I don't have a ton of sympathy, to be honest.
Okay.
But still, we don't get the nice sun. Actually, that's not true. This morning I woke up to very bright lights coming through me blackout curtains.
Wow. Well, there you go. Mm.
Don't like that. Don't like that at all. I'm in fear of getting a tan. It's no good.
Can't
see. Once I get a tan, especially here on the island, I'm an outcast. That's the end of that.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't like any of that.
Mm-hmm.
No, send me to the ferry. Get off our island.
I thought you'd.
But 24. We're not going to talk about me being ill because I think we.
We'll pass that.
We spend enough time.
People are sick of hearing that. No one cares.
No one cares. I'm either here or I'm not here. End of story.
And usually it's April's fault. 24.
Yes.
24 hours in a day. God, I wish there was more.
No, See, people say that, but that doesn't make any sense because it doesn't matter how many hours in the day, there are only a certain number of hours you can be awake.
Well, that's a really interesting topic.
Is it? Oh, dear Lord.
I mean, is it a coincidence that humans need about 8 hours sleep and that's basically how long it's dark at night? If we were going in a slower rotation and there was like 30 hours in the day, would we need 12 hours sleep or would we still only need 6 to 8?
I don't know. That's what it isn't. See, now, normally when you say this is an interesting question, I'm like, oh, geez. it's gonna be 20 minutes of pain. But, that is quite an interesting question, isn't it? And what came first, our need for the sleep or... No, yeah. I suppose that has to have come first.
I'm pretty sure that the rotation of the Earth and day and night probably came first.
Only by a few
billion years, but just snuck it in front. So, have humans evolved because of the day-night cycle, or is there something in our makeup that says, well, that's how long we need and it wouldn't really matter how long a day is?
I think it has to be what you said the first time around. Mm. I think that we evolved to take into account that we should be sleeping when it's dark.
Yeah.
Because there's been lots of studies about people who work at night and how, actually, health-wise, it's really bad for you.
Yeah.
And over a long time, period, you know, you will suffer. So, you know, it must have been a relatively long adaption. A
few million years.
And also the fact that the brain developed, you know, with that in mind, that number of... Of course, this is all academic to me because I sleep 23 hours.
Yeah,
and I'm no smarter than anybody else.
You're special. You'd be smarter if you were eating more 4 and 20 meat pies. Ooh. I love my meat pie. 4 and 20. It's a famous... I don't know if you can get 4 and 20s overseas, but it's a... A famous Australian meat pie. They make them.
Is there blackbirds in it?
No blackbirds. But of course, yeah, that's where they got it from. 4 and 20 blackbirds baked in a pie.
Yeah.
Mm. 24 There's also the number of carats in 100% pure gold.
Again, what? I have no idea what a carat is.
A carat. It's something that Bugs Bunny eats.
Yeah, that's what I thought. And it really does confuse me when they use the same sounding words for stuff.
Yeah.
They call it something else, like carrots. I assume it's carrots.
How can C-A-R-A-T-S be carrots and C-A-R-R-O-T-S be carrots? Surely, one of them is carrots. Surely.
Yeah.
I don't know. Stupid. Who did we get this language from? Stupid other people. Let's blame the Germans.
Yeah. I think
we'll just wait. Pretty
safe bet.
Yeah.
I think I mentioned it earlier, but I think I got away with it.
Did you? Okay. And lastly, short one this week. 24. It's the atomic number of chromium, which, as all good geeks will know, is the name of the open source version of Chrome, the best browser, even though it comes from an advertising company. Should use it anyway. Much better than IE.
The Chromium version, is that non-Google?
Yeah, I guess. It's open source. It's based on the same code. But
do you use that, though?
I do not use it. I have used it in the past, but I just, Google nicely updates. I know they're an advertising company, and it's driven for that. But it is a good browser, and they update it automatically and update Flash for me, and I don't have to worry about that. So,
yeah,
that's all one.
I think a lot of the times people say, "Oh, it's this huge conglomerate. This company did a good."
They are, but they did some decent stuff.
I want them working on the stuff that I want.
What would have been really good is if you know how a Google is actually a large number. And it, you know, if you do a Google search, you know, the more pages it returns, there's more O's are in the word Google that you can click on. What would have been good is if a Google is 10 with 24 zeros after the end. That would have been quite a coincidence for Chrome, but sadly, no, it's not.
A missed opportunity.
Missed opportunity indeed. Yep.
I'm sure there's many of them over there at Google saying exactly the same thing.
Let's figure out what that number is that's got 24 zeros after it, and that's what we should have called our browser. But they missed out.
Do you know what started last night as well on the American TVs?
24.
Jack is back.
Jack's back.
He's in London.
Oh, is he?
Yeah.
There you go. I haven't seen anything about it. I'm doing a really good job of avoiding spoilers left, right, and centre. Which means
for that particular show, or
for everything, I'm doing a real. I'm not getting spoilers for Game of Thrones, even though I've read the books. I'm not getting spoilers.
Hang on a second. Back up the smug bus. It's quite a smug sound. See, that's what people kept saying to me. They said, "I was complaining. Please don't spoil it, because I like to watch them all in a row. I don't want to sit through them weekly. I want to wait until they're finished and I'll watch them all together, because that's how I like to watch my TV. I'm Netflixed about this type of thing." And I got quite a few, including from my dear friend and gorgeous person Strumpet, saying, "Well, see, if you read the books, you wouldn't have to worry, because you know, it's kind of pre-spoiled anyway." But of course, what did they go and do with the TV series? Left sharp right turn, move away from the books.
Sneaky bastards.
I know. How mean is that? So I'm like, a little bit. Although I was starting to.
Well, I mean, you know, they still need to kill everybody off, because otherwise they've got to write entire stories for people that aren't dead, that are supposed to be dead.
This is true. But I did feel a little
bit. Not dead yet.
So I guess when you say you're avoiding spoilers, you're also avoiding spoilers for the game we love.
This is the segue that I was trying to get to really quickly.
I know.
It's taken a hell of a long time to get here, but I haven't been to MMO Champion.
No.
I'm
on there now, and it's spoilerific. A lot of the stuff is lore-based, so I don't really understand all that.
It doesn't affect me, such does this and does that.
It doesn't... Maybe it will form a better part of the story, I don't know, but...
Look what happened to Gul'dan. What?
But when they start talking step by step through the quest line, that starts to get a little bit too close to the ruining the experience.
Who needs to play the game? Let's just read about every single quest on MMO Champion.
Yeah, I don't know what that achieves, really. really, from their. I mean, it shows that they're doing their job.
The only aspect I could see is if they were showing you the change in the mechanics or the way quests work, not the actual story of the quest.
No, they're not. It really is a script.
Yeah.
It's a quest script.
Well, that's just dumb. Stop it.
Yeah, like I said, I'm trying to think who would appreciate that. Well, who is their audience for that stuff?
Yeah.
Like, I can't get it. I don't get who that would be.
It feels more like, we know what the quests are. Look, na-na-na-na-na.
Actually, that is the title of their particular blog.
Blog,
we know what the quests are. Na-na-na-na-na. Yeah, that might well be it.
Could be it.
But it's a shame because they also are quite good at documenting some of the official stuff, and they do some seriously good blue post following.
Yep.
So you kind of want to get there and see stuff, but you want to, and you have to kind of, I don't understand why they just don't put a big sign saying, beyond this click is spoilers.
Yeah.
And then nobody's got a problem.
I actually like the Wowhead in Blue Tracker.
Yeah. That's my go-to now, really.
Well done, Wowhead.
Yeah. Wowhead seemed to be the saner face of the information load.
Would have to agree.
It seemed to be more understanding of what people dislike about, well, MMO Champion. Data mining in particular. You know, I should say, I'm playing well as we speak, and I'm getting elite 1377 XP per bear kill. Love that.
Ooh, nice.
Like that.
Very good. But Blizzard themselves are doing a pretty good job at the moment of releasing news, information, blogs. Did you read the three-part water cooler on raiding? Kind of a look back and a look forward?
I wasn't 100% sure what raiding was, so I gave that one a miss.
Gave that one a miss, yeah. Fair enough.
I didn't understand. No, actually, I cast my eyes over it slightly. I didn't understand the why looking back, what the whole looking back thing was.
I mean, yeah, it was interesting to see their summary of it. And I guess what was more interesting was, okay, well, we did all these things and, you know, we understand what bits didn't work. And so I guess they're really just trying to emphasize, well, you know, we're pretty sure now you know, what we need to do to make it work moving forward. So, yeah, hopefully they have learned a lot, and the raiding in Warlords will be a lot more of an enjoyable experience for everybody.
Anything leap out for the future to you?
Oh, there was one thing that apparently has been answered, but I haven't had the time to dig it and find it. So in Warlords, what's currently LFR at the moment, which is fixed 25, and, you know, basically you don't get in until it's filled, and, you know, if someone drops out, it automatically fills back up again. But in Warlords, the LFR is now normal, and it's flex mode, 10 to 25. So if it's flex mode, does that then mean,
jump in at 10.
Well, I mean, yeah, you could start off as soon as there's 10 people ready, right? Well, obviously not 10 DPS. You're going to need a tank or a healer. But what I'm worried about is, okay, you've just hit 100, you've done some dungeons, you've got a bit of gear, you jump into LFR, into raiding, and what happens with flex mode is when an additional person joins, the health of the boss increases. So there's got to be a trade-off of, well, does the DPS that extra person brings improve the situation for us to be able to kill the boss because it's good, or it decreases the ability to get the boss down because they do really crap DPS? So what's stopping, normal flex raids from, you know, kicking people out left, right and centre because, you know, they're just noobs and they're not doing decent DPS? Chicken and egg, how are they ever going to get gear if they keep getting kicked out of, you know, vote to kick because their DPS isn't high?
Yeah.
So I don't I don't understand. I must be missing something. I mean, they must have thought
of that. Min-maxing the raid.
Yeah.
Okay, well, you've given us 1% extra damage.
Yeah.
Now we need to get rid of
it. They've kind of a balance for that because, you know, as you pointed out, you know, a few months back, you know, it used to be, well, you don't want more than 13 because you add 14, it gets too hard. So,
Which they're trying to smooth all those plateaus out, aren't they?
They're trying to smooth all those out. But still, you know, if somebody joins an LFR, the health of the boss is going to go up. If they stand there and twiddle their thumbs, then, you know, you're behind the curveball.
Yeah, I mean, the flex does not take into account the ability that the player's bringing, and it certainly can't do, can it?
Yeah.
And it's 10 to 30 players as well, which is weird. They say here, flexible size raids will allow you to have anywhere from 10 to 30 players in a raid.
Really?
And this is the weird bit. Provided the client and server performance is okay. so no. So that would be 10 to 15 then. I love that last bit.
I'd never seen 30 before.
Yeah, this is from MMO Champion.
It's
from a developer interview with... Ian Hazzikostas did with Final Boss.
That's different to the water cooler, part three of the water cooler. I'm looking at it. New raid structure, 6.0.
Oh, no.
10 to 25, no. 10 to 25, 10 to 25. Mythic, 20.
A lot of contradictions.
I've never seen any 30 anywhere. What the? All right. Well, we're just going to have to scrub this episode and start all over again because obviously we have no idea what we're talking about.
Well, sadly, in this sort of fluid time while they are messing about with stuff left, right and centre. And this is, we'll talk about my concerns about that in a second, but there is no hard and fast. That morning he may just have had a meeting where they said, oh, the servers can handle 30.
Yeah.
And he went, oh, cool. Well, let's do 30.
Yeah.
But meanwhile, the water cooler's been written up and done.
Could well be.
It's 25. And that's the problem with this is that we're dealing with lots of different individuals, and I mean he's the dude, isn't he? He's the guy that designs these dungeons, as I understand it. He's the he's the mechanic man.
It just feels weird to me that they'd even contemplate supporting raids bigger than 25. I mean, why?
I don't know. Although, of course, it being cross serve and all the other bits pieces, there's no reason why it can't. But
yeah, well, I mean, there's no reason why it can't be 40. But I mean,
oh yeah, actually, it's later on. It reads flexible size raids will allow you to have anywhere from 10 to 1600 players in a raid, provided the client server performance is okay.
Right.
I don't know where he got the 30 from, but this interview took place after
the water cooler. Yeah.
So you don't really know what's going on there.
But what I did like was so what's coming in 6.0, so before Warlords, in 6.0 they're gonna do this the whole lot, right? So we get to play around with it and experience it before, you know, the content of Warlords come out, so that the squish, the dropping of hidden expertise, the change to Siege of Orgrimmar will actually change to be, you know, the normal heroic mythic or flexible. And best bit, Garrosh, Gary, me mate, will have a 100% chance of dropping an heirloom weapon.
He'll be big pockets. Big pockets, Gary.
I think as I was reading this, I was thinking, yeah, but what incentive? I mean, we'll have been doing this raid for a year. Why would anybody want to go in and start bashing their head against this? And then I got to the, 100% drop rate on the heirlooms. Ah, okay, everyone will be doing this.
It's funny how, I mean, you take that as an incentive, which of course it is, and it incentivizes you to go back in with your alts, whereas before you may not necessarily wanted to do that. Other people take it as a paying for the delay, that somehow Blizzard, in order to assuage our constant moaning about the delay, is just giving us these things as like, okay, let's just give them 100% of this. Let's increase the drop rate of that. You know, it doesn't really matter because that heirloom weapon will work worth diddly squat you know, anyway, doesn't it? It's just a given, you know. It's just an odd thing.
I can see that side of the coin, but I prefer to
look at the I don't understand it. I like it. Positive side. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Go for the positive.
Yeah.
On the sunny side of the street. And it says this patch will be live for 4 to 6 weeks to allow for testing.
4 to 6 months to allow for testing.
Actually, 4 to 6 weeks seems relatively small amount of time.
Mm.
Because I personally would like to be... I mean, I'm not necessarily going to go and do that, but if I was looking to get a few alts up, then, you know, I might want a bit longer than that.
Well, it doesn't matter too much for heirlooms because you can, you know, they're
share them, yeah.
bind on account. But certainly in terms of the pre-expansion, you know, world-changing events, you'd want that to at least go for a month for people to play around and experience that.
Yeah. Now, that's 4 to 6 weeks live. Hopefully, it's gone a heck of a lot longer in beta.
Mm-hmm.
So hopefully, there's not too much for them to iron out. Although, there's another question which keeps getting raised is, having looked at the Heroes of the Storm technical alpha, people are saying, well, the people that get invited in aren't really testing anything. They just seem to be streaming it and
playing the game and giving no feedback.
Yeah,
the betas do seem to have gone that way, don't they? It's it used to be if you got into a beta, then yeah, you'd spend considerable amount of time filling in questionnaires and actually giving feedback. So
yeah, I'm hoping that they do guide it that way, so that in order to progress into the beta and maybe get into a new area, you have to go through a questionnaire process that you can't just skip through. You know, there has to be some sort of guided
question beta. One, how many hours have you streamed this to Twitch?
It's the first thing people think of these days. It says there's going to be no vehicle fights in Warlords of Draenor.
I think a lot of people would cheer about that.
Yeah, they're a pain in the ass.
Mm. Including me, as you'll hear later on.
Oh, cool. Yeah. So
but that's about the news. For, oh, look, there's guest of the year. Have you been following the Azeroth Choppers?
No.
I watched the first episode and I went, okay, all right, well, yeah, I can they've lined it up. Watched the second one. And the second one was basically the entire thing was just, oh my God, we're not gonna have time to do this. I don't wanna sit there and watch that. I wanna see the design and them actually working on it and, you know,
just do it.
The process and stuff. And they started to do a little bit more of that in 3, but it's still, oh no, the horde's down to 2 people and oh, what are we going to do? I want to see more about the choppers and less about, you know, the made up stuff like, you know, of course they're going to have enough time, right? I mean, you know, we're going to get to the end of the series and, oh, look, it's only half finished. Oh, well, never mind. Okay, bye.
Yeah, sorry. It's a complete failure.
Yeah.
But the I actually saw people on Twitter questioning whether it was fake or not. Of course it's fake. This whole reality TV is fake.
Yeah.
All these types of shows where there's some event going on have to, otherwise it'll be just them coming in, building the bike, showing the good to do the bike, taking his money.
And that would be it.
Actually, and a lot of people would probably quite enjoy that. But they have to put the drama in, otherwise you won't watch next time.
Mm. Yeah.
You know, they want the drama in. It's ridiculous.
A bit of
the
drama.
Fact that anybody would question that.
Bit of drama, but I mean, when it's such a short episode, you can't afford to put much in because then there's no content.
The second episode was 3 minutes of them telling you what happened last time,
mm-hmm.
2 minutes of new stuff, and then 3 minutes of them telling you what's going to happen next time.
And, 2 minutes of new stuff, 1.5 of that was, oh my God, we don't have time. Oh my God, we don't have time.
Ridiculous. I don't know why they do it. And I know they're kind of, the weird thing about this, it's kind of meta, is that this is a mock reality show off a reality show. So you're like, you can look at it ironically and go, that's what they do in the real show.
Can I ride that motorbike in my Inception dream?
And there's so many of them. I do download a lot of television and normally I do it. I don't understand why I do this. Actually, maybe a mental problem, but I don't look up what it's going to be about until I download it and then I watch it. So I don't look up. I don't say, "Oh, is this something I'll enjoy?" I just download it, and there'll be a title. I think, oh, I don't know what it's going to be. 99% of the time, it's one of these fake reality shows.
Oh, God.
There's one on about people who go down into sewers. And there's one about people who have a machine which raises up buildings. I don't know. Any business, any sort of business that may have a tiny part of danger to it is now considered good reality shows.
Dear, dear.
It's like all those ones about fishing, people going out on boats. And I don't know, it's a dangerous business. I mean, I've seen some of these people out there getting the big fish.
No,
it's a dangerous business.
Don't mind actually watching a bit of a fishing show.
Yeah, they're all right. Because you actually do, because the thing that they're not in control of is the ocean. The company can't say, okay, we're going to have to cut this storm. No, that's something they can actually have no control over. Anyway, so yeah, no, I didn't really watch House of Choppers.
Fair enough. All right. Well, let's move on then and get into a bit of... Wow Fact or Fiction.
Okay, but after we do Wow Fact or Fiction, I do have some other news thing to mention. But
no, we'll come back to this thing. Go on.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, well, you did the little trumpet and everything. Are you going to be able to do it again?
Oh, well.
So know what you're like. You've only got one trumpet in you.
Says you. All right. Let's toss it around. Mix it up. We'll do some news after this. That's fine.
Yes.
All right.
So I think we this keep is, up.
And this is the Tosser edition.
Nice.
Yeah. I think you'll get this one. It's pretty
don't,
easy.
Don't.
Don't do that.
Oh. Don't do that because you know I won't get it.
Okay. So which of the following is not something that you can throw at another player? Okay.
Okay.
Number one. A happy fun rock. Number two, a haunted memento. Number three, a rotund relic. Or number four, a voodoo skull. One of these things is not like the others.
I've certainly heard of most of them. The only one I haven't heard of is a rotund relic. I've never heard of that.
It is. All these things are in the game. Didn't make any
different.
Of them.
Okay, but not necessarily throwable.
No.
I thought a haunted memento was some seriously expensive piece of kit. And I'm sure I've had a happy rock in my bag a few times.
That's what she said.
And voodoo's cold, definitely, yes, definitely. I've got loads of that. Because the rock... I'm worried that might be a grey. So, you know, one of these people who collect these rocks.
Yeah.
So you're listening to me, I'm saying, you're saying, if he goes for that one, then I can say, hey, if you hadn't gone for that one. I'm going to go with the rock.
Going with the rock?
Oh, yeah.
I'm disappointed.
No.
I really thought you'd get this one.
Oh, bollocks. It's you the can... memento.
It is the memento, yes.
Because it's a really expensive thing.
Well, funny story. When the Haunted Memento first came out, as you'd all know from the best world event ever, you could actually toss it at other players.
Yeah.
It was one of these things that you could throw at another player and you'd basically haunt them because the ghost thing would follow them around.
Yeah, those eyes.
Mm.
Ooh.
But no longer. You can't toss it anymore. And yes, you are right. They are... dreadfully expensive. They go for like 30,000-40,000 gold.
Why did I stick to that? See, this is the problem, is I think too much.
You do, yeah.
I stick to it.
An overthinker, a bit like me.
Overthinker.
Overthink stuff.
So what, the rock?
Happy fun rock, yeah. You can toss that.
Yeah. I've never seen a rotund relic.
A rotund relic, yes. That is the lesser known of the ones. So I think most people will have seen the Happy Fun Rock or the Voodoo Skull.
Because there were a load of rocks that were grey.
Mm.
a load of Grey Rocks. And I know there were, I can't remember where I read it, maybe Wow Insider, but some guy tried to collect them all and he had them all in his bank. And I didn't know if Happy Fun Rock was one of the grey ones.
Great for role playing. You want to come and see my Grey Rock collection?
No. It's worse if it was like, you want to come and see my rotund relic?
Want to play with my Happy Fun Rock?
Actually, any of those is going to get into a lot of trouble. Okay, so let's yes.
Head back to the news then. What do you got
is
for
Is there
us?
No one... I'm never going to win one of these. Well, it's about garrisons. Garrisons. During the interview with Watcher Dev, Ian Hasakos, he used the word. And English language is a funny old thing. Funny old thing, the English language. We just talked about the carrots and all sorts before.
Funny old thing.
And this is what he said. Having a garrison is mandatory. But what you do with it is up to you. It will work well with the story that you experience while leveling. But if you level with dungeons, you can catch up on your garrison later.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Now...
I don't have a problem with that statement.
You don't have a problem with this. You don't have a problem with the word mandatory.
No.
In other words, it's something in the game you will have to do.
Well, no. You'll have it. Doesn't mean you have to do anything with it.
Well, then don't use the word mandatory.
Well, but...
It's like saying mandatory mean mandatory is an action. It's something you have to do as opposed to have to have.
Okay. Now, I think it's probably splitting hairs. I'll probably come up with an example of something that's mandatory that you don't have to do that you've... that you have.
But don't you think that, and it did, I mean, it's not just me, it did cause some confusion among lots of different people, in as much as they thought, I think people still have in their mind that garrisons are kind of hyper player housing and are not necessarily something you need to concern yourself with at all if you didn't want to. But of course, now it seems that it's become built into the entire process. The living, but
they
not
are,
just...
they do have seem to have made it more and more important a part of the gameplay for sure.
Yeah, oh yeah, and I've got no problem with that. I like all those sorts of things. You know, I like the farms and stuff like that, and the bits and pieces that you can call your own, and the sort of stuff you can go and do. And it feels like out of game, although this is going to be much more in game. But it snacks off the whole. You'll have to. It's like when they say, "Well, you know."
Well, you've got a farm. It's mandatory that you have a farm. You've got a farm. You don't have to do anything with it.
Yeah, but I think what they've done here is they've used the word mandatory, probably more correctly than we'd hope. Okay. I think that in order for you, because I also talked about professions, in as much as that I think we mentioned this last time we recorded that. You can have your normal two professions. Plus, if you have your garrison working to its fullest extent, you can have an additional four. And, you know, fantastic. Amazing. Great. Love that.
Love it.
But if does your leveling your two standard professions include work on the garrison? Is the stuff you're going to need in order to get perhaps past certain humps in your leveling process of professions going to be based upon garrison materials and that type of thing? And it springs off the whole thing, well, actually, getting reputation in Mr. Pandaria wasn't mandatory. You could do it or you couldn't do it. But actually, it was, wasn't it?
It was.
You wanted to play the game to its highest extent.
It wasn't mandatory, but you're extremely limited in what you could do at endgame if you didn't.
Yeah. So I think that's what garrison's going to be. I don't think nothing's
going to
be in the game.
It's going to be a time really? Sink. I mean, let's face it, okay? They add these features to be a time sink. Garrison's is going to be a time sink.
But I think it's going to be as much a gate as a time sink as well. It's a time sink because in order for you to progress you're going to have to make the most of your garrison, I think. I can't see them putting something in and using the word, you know, it just doesn't make sense for them to do that. If it's a time sink that is up to you to do needs incentivize, you know, you need to be incentivized to do it.
Yeah.
If it means you won't be able to progress in the end game without having a fully running garrison, that's good incentive for you to keep do your garrison.
True. Yep.
So it's just a weird thing, and I know that we're in such early stages still, and that they promised I don't know if it's a water cooler or just a blog for garrisons has not yet appeared, even though I believe it was due to come out, or at least it had been suggested it would be out by now. The first first part of a three part sort of series.
Yep.
And we're still unsure. But the more and more I hear about it, the more integral, and that's the word that I said they should have used, it's going to be integral to Warlords.
Yeah, integral is probably a better word.
Yeah.
I agree.
Yeah. So just, you know, I don't know, you know, this whole, like garrisons will offer some normal raid quality and maybe a few heroic raid quality items towards the end of the raid tier. This is stuff that he said.
Mm-hmm.
Mythic raiders will be fine if they don't do anything with their garrison. Yeah, because they're mythic raiding. But if you don't not mythic raiding, then your garrison sounds like it's going to be relatively essential.
Yeah. Or, you know, at least a good way to get other things. And an alternative means that... I mean, for me, it's a moot point because, let's face it, I'm going to be heavily into garrisons no matter what.
Oh, yeah. I know. And when I read these things, I'm like, great. Because I have no problem with that. I love all that stuff. That's going to be fantastic.
Yep.
I love the idea of garrisons, of building up, you know, getting new buildings and getting followers and getting them off, sending off to do quests, getting the extra profession stuff. That's fantastic. It's not everybody's cup of tea by any stretch of the imagination.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah.
You know, and I guess that's probably why I'm not annoyed by it. I'm annoyed by the kind of misuse of language that is going to cause unnecessary concern among those people that don't have any idea that they want to be part of this whole garrison thing.
Mm-hmm.
Mandatory? If you read that first line, you're like, what? Man, you know, in a game, the last thing you want to hear is mandatory.
You know? Yeah, that's true. But I mean, to be fair, I mean, this was said during an interview, right?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, so I mean, yeah. Off the top, taking words off the top of your head. Yeah, you know, I use the wrong word all the time, so.
Yeah, definitely.
Take it with a grain of salt.
But what Blizzard should know by now is hell, that is exactly what people do.
Mm.
They'll take that word, and they have done. I mean, we've seen it. You can see it in the forums. They went mental.
Yeah.
Mandatory? They didn't read the rest of the sentence.
Yeah.
they stopped the mandatory and went to the forums.
Live. You know, unscripted interviews like that.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
It's going to happen. And you know, they think that the positive publicity you get out of it is worth the backlash when, you know, something a bit skew-ish gets said.
The scary thing about these things, though, is that Blizzard obviously are keeping an eye on the way people react to these sorts of news stories and this type of information that's coming out. And they... Although they obviously have a backbone of stuff they're developing, and they're not going to check, they're not going to suddenly go, okay, forget it, we're not going to do garrisons. Nobody lied them. We're just going to take them out. Because it seems to me that that's what's delaying the actual game itself. So obviously they're going really hard on garrisons. But they may change their mind about how integrated it is because of misunderstanding, as opposed to genuine...
Yeah,
so it's just they have to be so careful.
I mean, surely they're at a point where, you know, it's got to be starting to be pretty locked down as to what's going to be there and what's not.
But this is what I was going to say when we were talking about the news earlier. Is it kind of scares me because you get that feeling that it's not, and that they're still like going garrisons.
Let's just hope it's going to be a really short beta period.
It's going to be like a week and a half.
Because otherwise it ain't going to come out in October.
Oh, dear Lord. The last bit of McGowson says there will be some account level restrictions that ensure it's a word. Ensure that you don't have to do everything with your garrison on every alt.
Oh, that's good. I like that.
Yeah, so that's good.
Because having to do the farm on every tomb was a pain. I mean, I do like to do it multiple times, but it'd be great if there was an option where I didn't have to.
Yeah. Anyway, it came out in that same interview that some of the raiding stuff came out, and I just thought it was interesting stuff. I think I really just want them to start to firm up the jelly a bit, you know?
Yeah.
Really, because the arguments that I see going back and forth are still very much based upon, I mean, they're based upon that word, mandatory, as opposed to Ian coming on, or Eon coming on and saying, is it Ion? Ian, like, I don't know, I suppose it's Ion, but anyway. Coming on and saying, it's integral to the game. I didn't mean mandatory in as much as you had to, you know, you're going to have one, but that sort of thing. Explaining it a bit more. Actually, it should really be to the interviewer. Sometimes I think the interviewer needs to say, oh, hang on a second, you said mandatory, can you just expand on that?
Yeah.
You know? But they don't.
You've got to be, you know, thinking on your toes and not thinking ahead to your next question as well. So,
yeah. It's a problem with these types of interviews that are done live, as it were. You know, you've got Twitch running and, you know, they're going to basically take that.
It can't really be edited. It's got to be, because they're going to put it out streamed as is.
It's why I prefer the water cooler type things, where it's been for a few
written Q&A, it's been, you know, go back and forth and clarify stuff. Yeah.
Yeah. Anyway, so that was it. That was just the news.
Yeah. But I mean, I think it's good that there is such an increasing amount of information coming out.
Yeah, there's been a few other PvP stuff coming out, and they've shown bits and bobs. Yeah, it just needs to be a steady flow. See, I think there's the no news is the nightmare.
Mm.
The second nightmare is just everything at once.
Yeah.
And then, but what the best thing is just a nice slow flow of information, you know.
That's it. Just like your week in WoW, a nice slow flow.
No flow at all, mate.
Isn't it?
Well, no, I'm back in, you know, obviously there was a bit of time where, literally today is the first time I've played for a while.
Is your wrath still going?
Yeah. I actually had to, I was so scared that it was going to run out, because I don't know why, because I know exactly when I bought it. I should work 90 days from there, but some reason my brain doesn't.
You never can. No.
But can. I always miss it. So I actually asked in the forums, with my ref running out, in the customer service forum. And 31st of this month, it will run out.
Oh, weeks to go. Weeks to go. You've probably got another 2 weeks before you start to panic and actually start doing anything with it.
But I'm glad that I have that date in my mind. And that's all I've really been doing, running around in the last 4 or 5 hours on the hunters, a couple of hunters. I'm over in Grizzly Hills at the moment.
Nice.
Killing grey mist hunters. Yeah, I'm at 75. Actually, this area is probably a wee bit low for me now. I should move on, but I have a hard time. If there's a kill quest, I think, well, I might as well do it. You know.
It's when you're multi-boxing, you know, rather than the collection quests.
Yeah, you're getting the double bubble, you're getting nice XP from killing, you're getting a bit of skinning, getting the quest rewards at the end as well. So that's pretty much all I've really been doing. I know, it's very disappointing.
That's right. As long as you're in-game and you've been looking at that list and putting ticks beside everything that you'll do one day, right?
Yeah, I've ticked it all.
Ticked it all, alrighty.
And the tick says, this is stuff that I may well do in the future.
Mm. Very specific.
Yeah.
So earlier you mentioned how there's not going to be any vehicular quests in
vehicular.
Warlords. And after my experience this week, I'm wholeheartedly agreeing with that. Because for the first, I don't know why I've never done it, but have you done the series of quests in Ungoro with Maximilian of Northshire?
Oh my God, yes.
Oh.
That little twerp on the little horse.
The twerp on the horse. Oh my God.
God, I hate that.
What a pain. I mean, I put myself through it just to see how much pain it was. But for a start, he runs off and aggroes everything left, right, and centre.
Yeah, so, little bastard.
So, holy buddy, this crap running at me and aggroing from miles away. They're absolutely terrible to do in a party or if you're multiboxing.
Oh, don't. Because, I multiboxed it.
Yeah.
I'm still crying.
Because they only count once.
No.
The damsel quest where you've actually got to go and rescue these damsels that are a bit, that's a funny bit. They're male blood elves. He thinks that they're damsels. So that's pretty funny. But you don't actually talk to them like as in a quest. You just ride up to them and he starts interacting with them. So. Yeah. Your first toon interacts with him, and your second toon, his dude's just standing there twiddling his thumbs, and it doesn't count
because you both have Maximilians.
That's yeah, the you thing, both have them, yeah. But you can only see yours,
yeah.
And so you've got to ride off. You know, let that one finish, and it takes forever to actually finish it and ride off and come back and let the other one do it. Complete pain in the ass.
Mm.
And then you get to the last part. Of the quest chain. And I'd seen people doing this and had no idea what they were doing. I'd be out questing and I'd see someone run by on a horse with a devil sword chasing them. I'm like, oh. That was odd. Is that
just
the range on that? You know, it's funny that devil sword has it reset and I'll be standing there, you know, killing stuff and they'll run around again. I went, oh, what? And once I went and helped somebody and killed it.
And oh, no.
I think it ruined it for them because I didn't seem too pleased. But, so the last part is a vehicle quest. And basically you're riding on the back of his horse and he gives you rocks to throw at a devil's horse. And fair dinkum, I think it must have taken me about 5 hours to kill this bloody devil's horse by chucking little rocks at it.
The health of the thing's going down like...
Yeah. It's got about a health of about 4 million and each rock does about 3 damage. And your damage gets down to really low and he goes, oh, you look damaged, I'll heal you up. And he heals you up, so you're not going to die. So there's no risk of you dying. But I don't know. I've lost track of how many times I looped around and around and around. And, of course, he's just running through stuff and aggroing everything else as well. It's completely ridiculous the amount of time.
It's the stupidest quest.
And of course,
now imagine multiboxing that.
Yeah, I did. I picked it up on my second turn as well, thinking, oh well, you know, he's driving. I don't have to steer. He's driving. I can do it on that. No, I looked over, and my second turn is dead. And I'm like, oh well, not even going to bother with him. So,
did he throw you some armor?
He gave me 3 bits of armor, and that kind of helped at the start.
Yeah.
But then, you know, I had to do the majority of its health with the stones.
Well, he gave 3 bits of armor to one of my turns, but not to the other one.
Oh.
And I couldn't understand what triggered. It drove me crazy.
Probably because you were partied up and I thought he'd already given it to you.
Oh, yeah.
It's really buggy, partied up, that quest chain. That's terrible. And then when I did finally kill the devil saw and you're still I killed him and dismounted and the devil saw was still there even though I killed him. And I don't know if that was because I was partied up and I tried running away and I ran over to the other side of the springs there and he's still chasing me and I went, oh, bugger this. I just gave up and let it kill me. So I died in the end anyway. Terrible, terrible quest chain.
It's funny because I saw the tweet. I saw you tweet that.
Yeah.
And I was thinking, that does sound familiar. When then we start talking about it, I said, like the damsel things drove me crazy. Because there's a few times where I completely lost the quest and I had to start all over again because...
I was trying to figure out what why did the second one do something? Not doing anything.
He's like, do, 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 do.
The only saving grace was that the second Toon that died, he actually got credit for the Devil Saw kill when the first one did it. That was the only saving grace in this entire debacle. So, yeah, didn't enjoy that.
I think that definitely goes into the top five worst quests, worst quest chains ever.
Ever.
But he's like that, like you're saying, he's like that, okay, that damsel thing was absolutely hideous. What's next? What? A devil saw?
I mean, I can kill those devil saws. I actually fight them and kill them, no problem. Yeah, it'll take me a minute or so. I've got to kill them with a rock.
When he rode off towards the devil saw, I was like, okay, this is not going to go well. Just, it's cool, actually, because it's kind of like a Don Quixote. I don't know if you've read the book Don Quixote.
A long time ago.
But it's that kind of thing where he thinks he's like a knight, and it's all, it's kind of entertaining from that point of view. But
the storyline is funny. Yeah, I mean it's a funny storyline, but the practicalities of the quests is annoying as hell.
Yeah, that's something they definitely need to look at.
There you go. And I have a great tip this week, and my tip is if you're add yourself. We all know that you can add yourself to the list of other raids to do world boss raids now, to do like the Celestials and complete Mindfart on Ordos. There we go. If you are queued up for that, don't accept it if you've just clicked on the weekly quest out in the Timeless Isle where you float up into the air and you get your wings and you've got to float down to get the chests on the platforms.
Uh-huh.
Because if you accept a raid invite while you're doing that, you lose your wings and you plummet to your death.
That can certainly spoil your day.
Yeah, that kind of spoiled a little my weekly collection of... Because that's doing those three weeklies is a great way to get you, if you're running low on your lesser charms of good fortune, it's a great way to get your 50 lesser charms to do your weekly the Mogu Who's Majubis, your bonus roll tokens. Of course you know what I'm talking about. Of course you know.
Mogu Who's Majubis.
Who's Majubis. Yeah. Your bonus roll tokens. That's a good way of getting them. Just don't accept that. Don't accept your raid invite while you're doing that quest. Doesn't work so well. All right.
The only one that's ever done that, by the way.
Possibly. So are you ready for the saga of the Elixir of Knowledge experiment?
Oh, yes, I am.
All right. So I had four Elixirs of Knowledge, two on each account. And the first thing that I've got to say is in order to get the Elixir of Knowledge, you've got essentially one rare that you can camp and kill. And he's heavily camped. He's never up for more than a few seconds. Okay. And I must have killed him 6, 7, 8 times in a row and not got an Elixir of Knowledge. So I'm kind of on the side of it doesn't make any sense whatsoever to spend all that time trying to get the Elixir of Knowledge. I could easily have leveled all those levels just playing the tune where I spent camping him and trying to get them. It doesn't really make sense. I mean, unless you're multi-boxing and you've just got one turn camped there, and you're playing your other turn, then yeah, okay, maybe. But still, your chances of getting one pretty slim.
Mm-hmm. So the time invested in getting one.
Time invested, you could easily. I mean, unless you actually hate leveling, in which case, why are you living in olds? So, who knows? So, test number one. I did it in Blackrock Depths, and I just dinged 43 and had no rested XP. So my first mistake was that you can't get the quests at 43. Okay, so being able to do quests with these Elixir of Knowledge, you know, 300% by handing in quests, very important. So I ran through and I finished my first run. I was 80% into 45. So put on, you know, almost two levels just with one run through. Ran out, reset it, killed enough to get to 46 and picked up the quests to kill the jailer and Baelgor, and continued killing mobs until my hour was up. And I finished almost 49. I was like 95% into 48. Mm-hmm. So that's like, you know, let's say 49. So six levels. So I put on six levels in Blackrock Depths in an hour. I mean, that, you know, yeah, that's
not bad.
Pretty good, I suppose. But, you know, it makes a lot more sense to be going into dungeons where you can do the quests.
Sure.
So, next time I would have left it until I was at a point where I could do two or three dungeons where I could hand in all the quests. You know, like maybe over in Zangarmash. You know, you do those three dungeons that are like all together there and do all the quests and hand them all in. I think that would work out a lot better.
Yeah.
So then I tried the pet battle experiment. So, there's a question. So you know how you get double XP if you've got rested XP?
Yeah.
You get 200%. So does that, and also that when you hand in a quest, it doesn't eat into your rested XP? Okay, only killing mobs eats into your rested XP. So does that mean that I'd be... So if I've just finished doing a dungeon and invariably I'll have eaten up all of my rested XP doing the dungeon...
Because of all the killing.
Because of all the killing. If I go to an inn for like 3 seconds and it says, you know, you are now rested, and then go and hand the quest in, do I get 200% XP?
You don't get rested XP on any quests.
Ah, okay. Okay.
Regardless.
So it doesn't make any difference.
No.
All right. I wasn't sure about that. I was thinking, am I diddling myself in you know, 100% more XP on these quests? But okay, that makes sense. So I went around and I did all the pet battles, the Pandarian tamers, and all of the beasts around Pandaria. And I picked a toon that needed the lesser charms of good fortune, because you know, you can use those for your as I was saying, your weekly bonus roll tokens.
Yep.
So pick a toon that it needs the lesser charms. So I did that. So the first thing is, of course, doing all these pet battles takes a bloody long time.
Yeah.
So you'd probably only do this way if, you know, I did it because, well, two reasons, you know, for the experiment, but also, you know, I do pet battle and I do like leveling up pets. And so, you know, I'm a pet battler. But if you weren't a pet battler, then this probably isn't the way that you'd use your Elixir of Knowledge, because it takes hours to kill them all. Obviously, you want to do it with a toon that's got 310% flying, because you want to fly your lobby around to hand in the Pandaren quests. You can hand in the beasts quests at two moons, but you've got to fly around to all the tamers to hand in the quests. So you want fast flying. Here's the very, very first important bit. Know your flight path. Practice the flight path. Don't pick a flight path where, for example, you fly past half hill and you fall off the mount and plummet to your death and lose your Elixir of Knowledge buff. That would be a bad thing. That would raise your blood pressure. Because that's what happened to me. For some reason, I take the same path doing the tamers, flying from tamer to tamer all the time. But for this time, for some reason, I varied my path and I got too close to Half Hill. He got dismounted, fell down, lost a whole bunch of health, and these stupid birds went, oh, he looks tasty, and went down and killed me. I was not impressed. I was not impressed. Second thing, don't do it when your effing ISP glitches and you get disconnected 6 minutes after drinking an elixir of knowledge. 6 minutes. I drank the second one. 6 minutes. The worst bit was, I'm going to write something up and post it on the WoW thing, because there's a bug in WoW. It used to be that if you have a network glitch and it kind of lost connection to the server, you'd instantly get disconnected. It doesn't do that anymore. It tries to recover. It looks like you're still in the game, but you're not. All right? The world server channel still works. Chat still works. So it really looks like you're there. You can talk in guild chat. You can see other chat. But you can't use the other channel, which is the thing that interacts with the world. You can't cast any spells. You can't mount. You can't dismount. You can't move. Well, it looks like you're moving, but you're not really moving.
You're just moving in your screen, aren't you?
Yeah.
Nothing's being sent.
Yeah, the server doesn't... You think you've moved, but the server doesn't think you've moved. So I went, oh, crap, because I'm flying, right? I'm on a flyer. I was actually over in Tanlong Steps, and I was over water. So I thought, well, at least if I plummet, I'm not going to die, or I'm going to fall in the water. So I closed WoW, logged back in again, and it actually showed on my screen that I was still mounted on the two-seater mount, right? But I knew I wasn't, because when I moved, it didn't actually move, and I'm trying to figure out what's going on. Then after a while, I hear, blah, blah,
blah, blah, blah, blah. Oh, drowning.
And then my health starts going down. I'm like, no. And, yep, died from drowning.
Unbelievable. Were you rapidly pressing the space button?
I was.
Get out.
So it thought I was still mounted, right? So I couldn't hit the space bar to get up, and I couldn't dismount, exit the vehicle. So reason two for me hating vehicles at the moment, couldn't exit the vehicle. My first toon didn't know where the hell I was, because the first account didn't disconnect for some reason. It was a complete debacle. This elixir of knowledge thing has been such a debacle. Unbelievable.
I don't understand why something that's so hard to get hold of, they can't exist through death.
Mm, yeah.
It just seems so odd.
Yeah, it should last for an hour regardless.
Yeah.
It'd be great if they changed that. But, that's pretty crazy. But so I started at 43 again, and I'd managed to hand in some of the tamers, and obviously the beast ones, and I finished halfway through 46. So given that I actually only had about 15, 20 minutes worth of elixirs for two of them, getting 43 to halfway through 46, obviously a lot better than the run through dungeons and just kill stuff path.
Mm. Yeah, if you extrapolate it, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. So, yeah, all in all, not worth the hassle, mate. Not worth the hassle.
God, you could have said that an hour ago.
Yeah, could have done.
No, it doesn't seem like it, does it? No.
I mean, if they changed it to have a higher drop rate and to persist through death, then, yeah, probably be really well worth it.
What do you think the chances are that at some stage they'll sell those?
Oh, yeah. I would not cross that off the list at all.
Mm. I could see that.
Mm. You know?
Because it's like
selling bits of RAF, you know.
Yeah.
For $5, you can have some of the benefits that RAF gives you for, an hour or a day or something.
For a day,
that would be good. There you go. So, I've got a whole day. I'm gonna play WoW for like 6 hours. You know, I'd jump it, spending a few bucks on bonus XP or, to some of the other stuff that RAF gives you.
Imagine what the hardliners would say there. Yeah. The pain. Yeah. They would hate it, wouldn't they? They would just hate it.
Terrible.
The thing is that the game, because it's a sub game, subscription game, all those sort of things are kind of off the table to a degree, because people say, well,
yeah, I'm paying already.
I'm already paying. Yeah, why am I paying for this? But
it's not, favourite word, mandatory.
No.
You can just play.
And it's also, it comes down to my favourite thing as well, where, what the hell's it got to do with you?
Yeah.
how I level my character. It's your own goddamn business.
I level however I want.
Exactly. Don't you go having a go at me. My money. I suppose it's just because people start worrying about a slippery slope and all this sort of thing.
Yeah. Well, they've slipped down the slope from where they were a couple of years ago, so there's no reason that they won't keep slipping.
Yeah. Just buy a 90. I don't care. I'm going to level it. See, at least I'm trying to level.
I want to level, yeah. I really don't have much interest at all in buying a 90.
Well, I still have my... I've only bought one of these so far. I bought the collector's edition with a flying mount, but don't get me started on that. And I still haven't used the boost, because every time I think, oh, I'll boost this, I think, no, I could level that. I don't understand. Why would I boost it? I just might as well try and level it.
Yeah.
So
at least level it to 60.
Oh yeah, definitely. But I don't know what I'm going to use it. I still have no idea. Still have no idea. Not even a Danny LaRue what's going to happen with that one.
Yeah. And where? What server?
What server? Yeah.
Maybe on the new Australian servers that they're going to put out to fix all the problems. Yeah, right.
It's never going to happen.
Yeah. There you go. That's been my week. I hope you've all learned lessons from that. Don't follow in my footsteps.
Don't follow in my plummeting body.
Nah. Exactly. They've improved the phasing and falling and stuff, but it's still pretty glitchy.
The time between when whoever's on the back of your rocket hangs in the sky is quite long.
Yeah.
There is, your heart still does go, it's going to fall.
Is he going to fall? Or is he going to fall? Or is he just going to like magically fly forward really, really fast and then back up on the mount?
Yeah. It is kind of like a multi-box roulette as you go through. And there's a couple of areas which I've been to recently where it's phased every few yards.
Yeah.
I don't understand. I have no idea what's going on there.
Jade Forest, really bad. Around Half Hill is really bad. There's just some spots that it's just like heavily phased. If you try to get into Mount Hyjal from the Orgrimmar side, just forget about it.
Forget about it.
I mean, I've got a new challenge to find some new way to level some Lobiolts. So I'll take them up to Mount Hyjal. I'll see what I can play around with up there. And whichever point I approached and flew over into Mount Hyjal, it'd phase and it'd fall to the ground and die and release and be an astronaut. And it's a bloody long way to go to Astronaut to pick him up again.
Ridiculous.
Ridiculous. But yeah, so maybe if anyone out there has what they think to be a unique way of leveling a tomb, then I'd love to hear from you.
Yeah, that was a good experiment. I think that was, if there's more of those that we could do, or Shay can do.
Oh, I'll drag you into it.
You love those experiments.
Love the experiments. You know who I blame? Blame Renata.
I was gonna say Renata, yeah. She used to love those experiments. To Renata. She was a true diamond of the WoW community.
She really was. We done.
No, I blame
We're gonna wrap it up.
yeah.
We've only got a couple of hours. Yeah. We're going to bloody shut it down for more maintenance. Only an hour, though.
Only an hour, though. Yeah. I was trying to work out. I looked at it and thought, 6 p.m.? That's like 4 o'clock in the morning. But, oh, no, 6 a.m. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. 5 or 6.
Scared the crap out of me.
Yeah, very good. So I'm going to go out this week with some Blondie, mate.
Love a bit of Blondie.
Yeah. And Rapture, no less. Face to face, sadly, solitude, and it's finger popping, 24-hour shopping in Rapture.
Oh, bravo. Bravo to the old Debbie Harry. And I'm going to go out on an old favourite, what I like to call bye bye.
Catch you later.
Catch you later, mate.
Thanks for listening to WoW Geekly. To contact us, email wowgeekly@gmail.com or send us a tweet at wowgeekly or abuse the host directly on @Asheo and @Elgin. And of course, we'd love it if you subscribe on iTunes or Stitcher, and love you even more if you leave a review. Upload complete.